Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Melbourne's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia. It is Chatterbox. My beautiful partner and I, well, I don't know what happens to Andy tonight. Andy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Yes.
Yes.
I'm here. And I've just had this horrible realization that I'm wearing exactly the same outfit as I wore this time last week, which means the guys on Hand Claps and Harmonies are going to think I've only got one outfit, which is a disastrous start to the show.
But you're here, my love, on this
I am indeed.
Lovely Wednesday night. It's not as cold. It's still bloody cold, though. Not as cold as before.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. We had a nice couple of sunny days, and it's, yeah, you know, winter's winter. So doesn't bother me, Brett.
All right. So, my love, what's on the show tonight?
Well, for those of you that haven't listened to Chatterbox before, we are a late-night talk show that gives us the opportunity to bring somebody into the studio to choose three songs, tell their story, shoot the breeze with Brett and I, and have a bit of fun, basically. So we're really lucky tonight, and we'll be introducing our first guest tonight after the first song. Really special guest, Lisa Gibbs. For those of you that know Lisa, you'll know what a wonderful, wonderful girl she is.
So absolutely.
We're lucky to have Lisa in with us tonight.
And obviously, part of Chatterbox's theme is that we get a guest every week who tells their story through a selection of songs. We've also got a bit of a quiz that you create every week near the end of the show, my love.
Yes, that's right, called Out of the Box, where we ask a couple of awkward, slightly uncomfortable questions of our victim.
But first, we've got a song to play. I actually think we've got a special guest star. I'm going to introduce the song. It's by Girls Aloud tonight, and it's The Promise. I'll just see if our special guest star is actually
Joy,
there.
Joy 94.9.
I know, this is Cheryl Cole from Girls Aloud. You're listening to Chatterbox on Joy 94.9. Eee, that's champions.
Thank you, Cheryl Cole and the Girls Aloud crew. You're on Joy 94.9. It's the Chatterbox crew with Brett and Andy and our beautiful guest, Lisa Gibbo. Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Welcome, Lisa.
Hello. Hi, Brett. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, darling. You're one of the few people we know that'll actually stay up until 11 o'clock.
Easy.
It isn't, believe me.
Now, you were just telling us before that you've just come straight from the Melbourne International Film Festival.
That's right, that's right.
What did you see tonight?
I saw 20,000 Days, which is the Nick Cave documentary / film.
Yes.
Which was great. It was great. It was kind of a, you know, biographical movie. Had some live performances, but it was at the Forum, beautiful theatre.
It's a great theatre, isn't it?
Mm. You love your Nick Cave, don't you?
I do love my Nick.
Now, can I say, when I first met you, I was, and that was probably, what, 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
I adored you, obviously, but I was a little bit intimidated because super cool. Super cool. You've got this sort of Betty Page, Andy Warhol, the factory look going on, and you love your music and you love independent music.
I do. And I did. You did actually give me the title, which I use it occasionally, Millennium Goth. Andy, you gave me that
title. Did I really say that? Do you know what I absolutely fell in love with you, though? When you lent me your Stock, Aitken & Waterman Greatest Hits double CD.
That was from my beautiful friend Stuart in London. We used to go to GAY a lot. And he'd still, over the years, just keep sending me these compilations. And it's kind of like, Stu, I liked it at the time and the plays. And it's not something that I would put on, you know, just if I'm doing housework or something. But I really, yeah, we had great times there. A lot of great music too at GAY.
Absolutely.
And obviously, we are a GLBTI. A community radio station, and you're our first A.
Yay!
Now, for those at home that don't understand the gay alphabet, and I've got to be honest, sometimes I struggle. A is for ally. So you've got gay. Somebody asked me the other day what all the letters mean. You've got gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, intersex, and queer, and allies. So Lisa's our first ally. Allies. Yay! Welcome to the studio, our first ally, Lisa.
And Lisa, it's funny because you were talking about GAY in London, and obviously you spent time in the UK in your life. I've always been amazed with the variety and the spectrum of your music taste.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Because obviously Lisa's in, well, you were in two bands last year.
Yes.
So you're still in Verdane.
Verdane is the band that I'm in.
Yes.
Even though Stephen, our singer guitarist, is, you know, jet sitting around the Greek islands or wherever he is at the moment. Yeah. So we're waiting for him to get back so we can start playing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were also in another band last year as well.
Yeah. So last year I was in a band called Kilby Kennedy.
Yeah.
With the amazing Steve Kilby from The Church and Martin Kennedy, who's a great Melbourne musician. He's in a band called All India Radio, and that's their collaboration.
Yeah.
And I was, privileged enough to play some bass for them.
See, this is another thing that surprised me because, again, we'd known you for about 12 years, and then we saw you at some party, and it was like, yeah, I'm in a band. And it was like, I had no idea that you could play the bass.
Yes, I know. I think some people still think that too.
There's nothing hotter for me than a great-looking woman playing a bass or the drums. I just think there's something super hot about it. I remember that Lenny Kravitz video where there was that woman playing the drums and she was hammering the crap out of him, and I was just like, oh, that's just hot. And I've seen photos of you on Facebook playing the bass, and it's the same thing.
Well, you have to come and see me live.
We would love to.
Yeah. Yes. And this is something talking, and you were just saying it before as well, not only obviously you play live, but you are committed to seeing a live band. Is it once a week?
Yeah, probably. It depends what's on. I mean, for me, I think Melbourne is still amazing. The amount of music you can go and see.
Yeah.
And it's also the people, your friends and, you know, that are in bands or friends that are into music. So there's always something on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how cold and rainy it is in this city. You'll always get hot going to see a Melbourne band.
It's a community.
It is.
It's like garage sales. There's a community of those that go around on the weekends too.
I'll think of that next time.
But much cooler.
Oh, much cooler. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy on Joy 94.9. And tonight our special guest is Lisa. Lisa, obviously part of Chatterbox is we get our guests to bring in three songs that mean something to them. So tell us about your first track, who it is, what it is, and why you chose it.
Well, for me, I suppose some of the best experiences you have or most memorable music experiences are when you're young.
Yeah.
And I am an 80s child. So I had these amazing compilation tapes that my mum would buy me in 1980, 1981, and one of them had this next track on it. And I would say that he was the sort of epitome of the music scene in London, and also became such an influence on so many different styles, from fashion as well. I'm talking about Malcolm McLaren. I'm talking about the track Madam Butterfly.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Let's just talk about Malcolm for a moment. I can't believe how many times I wouldn't say he's reinvented himself, but the style and genre of music is so varied.
Yeah.
From punk, like this is a beautiful little 80s romantic piece.
Mm.
But you were talking about, we were talking about this during the week, Andy, and you said he even had influence over the over hip hop.
I think, look, I mean, 81, 82, I think was when he released the Duck Rock album, which was when he sort of, you know, he had scratching on his album and it was the whole Double Dutch, you know, Buffalo Girls, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And look, he certainly doesn't invent anything. And this is the genius, I think, of Malcolm McLaren. He doesn't necessarily invent anything, but he's incredibly good at looking at street trends and bringing them to the mainstream. And I think he did it, obviously, in the UK with punk.
Yeah.
I think the stuff he did with Vivian Westwood, obviously, from the 70s and 80s, yeah, was incredible. The Duck Rock album, obviously the Fans album that Madame Butterfly's from. And then later on, you know, voguing. Madonna gets credited for bringing vogue into the mainstream, but he did it 2 or 3 years before she did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
He good was old always... Madge. Trust her to jump on somebody else's coattails.
He was always a step of the pack. And I think with this album as well, Fans, which is this song's from, it's a concept album. I don't normally do concept albums.
Yeah, yeah.
But this track, I think you could play, it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's Malcolm McLaren with Madame Butterfly. You're listening to Brett and Andy on Chatterbox on Joy 94.9.
I got married to Jojo Sand. That was a name in those days when I was her man. I'm going back to visit her. She got a problem.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our special guest, Lisa. That was the fabulous track of Malcolm McLaren's from the 80s called Madame Butterfly. Great choice, Lise.
And I've got a Malcolm McLaren story, actually.
Oh, it was, yes.
When I first moved to Melbourne, it would have been about 91, 92, and I went out to a bar on Chapel Street.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in, I met a group of friends there and they were all excited and they said, oh my God, you'll never guess who's here. And I looked across the bar and I made eye contact with Malcolm McLaren and I went, oh, Malcolm McLaren. And they went, no, Kimberly Davis from Neighbours. And I thought, what is wrong with the world where you've got the man that pretty much invented punk in the UK and an awful lot of other things, and we're getting excited about Kimberly Davis.
Were they together?
No.
At the same table?
No, he was literally sitting, I think there was maybe two or three in his party, and they were sitting in a really small, quiet corner. She was standing at the bar. But it was interesting because as I walked in, he was who I saw. I looked completely past her.
As you would.
Absolutely. And it was just the strangest thing because I was like, Malcolm McLaren. No, Kimberly Davis.
That's hysterical. Andy, we've had a couple of messages that come through. Our counterparts on a Thursday night, Purple Speech, the lovely John has sent one through saying, loving the velvet tones of your voices, boys. Oh, sweetheart.
That's lovely. Thank you, JPW. And Roxy, I'd say there's two velvet tones in the studio tonight, being Brett and Lisa, and mine's probably a bit more like corduroy.
And we've had an MMS as well sent to us, which works really well on the radio.
It threw us into a spin. Somebody sent a picture message in. But it says, I'm swooning over the track choice. Can't wait to put Fans on. Brilliant. So thank you, whoever you are. We don't know. Subject was ooh. So clearly you liked our first track, which is great.
So Lisa, great choice of first track. And obviously this is where, you know, it's a bit of a hot seat time. We're going to hear about your growing up. Was it Geelong or in Melbourne?
Geelong.
You're another Geelong girl.
Geelong.
There's so many people in our circle of friends that started life in Geelong.
Yeah.
What happens down there?
No, they breed some really good people.
So
really interesting that none of them actually stay in Geelong as well.
Well, the good ones don't anyway.
Well, it's funny.
We love Geelong, by the way, at Joy 94.9.
It's funny because I moved around quite a bit. So grew up in Geelong, then moved to Fremantle
in
when
WA?
I was 15. So yeah. It was kind of that kind of critical age of moving as well. Yeah. But I have, strangely, more friends from Fremantle living in Melbourne now than friends from Geelong living in Melbourne.
Wow.
All the Geelongians, well, a lot of them still kind of live around Geelong, strangely. But all the Fremantle people are here.
So how long were you in Freo for, love?
I was in Freo for 5 years.
Oh,
five
wow.
years. So I just finished high school in Fremantle.
Did you go to John Curtin?
I did. How do you know these things?
Well, because, you know, being a Perth boy, and also John Curtin was the school, in Fremantle, other than if you went to one of the Catholic schools or,
It was kind of funny because when we moved there, so I was 15, and when we moved there, it was the closest school to where my dad and I were staying anyway.
Yeah.
Because we were living bang in the middle of Fremantle, like off High Street
in
a building, and he had his business downstairs and we were living upstairs.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it was like an art school or anything like that. And then we kind of got there and they were like, oh, you're in another zone. You have to go to another school. It was all this sort of, you know, hullabaloo. But we finally we got there and it's great. I mean, it was a really good time in my life, though, too, I think, coming from Geelong and kind of feeling that I was that, you know, tormented teen as well.
And it's really interesting, Freo, and I don't think Freo is like this now, but Freo before America's Cup in 87 was a bit of a down and out port town that had sort of been forgotten about and a bit unloved.
Yeah.
And then they'd poured so much money into it because of the America's Cup.
So did the cafe strip only happen after?
Well, there was always a cafe strip and there was a bit of an art scene, but it really started to get alternative people living in, and because there's, I think Fremantle still has one of the highest amount in per square kilometre of heritage-listed buildings.
Yeah.
Because Fremantle was untouched, you had these great colonial, turn-of-the-century Victorian buildings, and then the art community moved in, you had the Cafe Society happening, and you were in Fremantle at a fantastic time.
Yeah, it was funny because it was like moving from Geelong to a bigger Geelong.
But from Geelong Minor to Geelong Major.
But there was no Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, we can go to Perth. Oh, but where's the other Perth? Where's the other, you know?
Yeah. But where's the other Perth?
I know. But I spent my misspent youth in Perth record shopping, really. That was a... Still shopping for vinyl.
There was a great record store. I think it was on Barrack Street.
I was
thinking. And it was downstairs. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. Yes,
Dada. 78. Yes, 78 Records. Yeah. That was a brilliant record store.
Mm.
My mother used to buy, we had a jukebox. And Mum used to go in and buy records for the jukebox. Can't talk about a selection. Hi, Mum, if you're listening. But there was a lot of Connie Francis. Mum was big into Connie Francis.
Connie Francis' entire back catalogue.
I don't even know who Connie Francis is.
Oh, my God. Well, a friend of mine...
Well, you won't be in the will. No.
Well, a friend of mine from London sent me this. He goes, has your mum got this album? And it's Connie Francis singing Italian songs from the 60s. And it is... brilliant.
Yeah, well, even the Italian songs from the 60s sounds great.
Yeah, well, exactly. Hey, you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Chatterbox tonight.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy on Joy 94.9. And tonight our special guest is the wonderful Lisa Gibbs. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, boys.
Now, for those of you that haven't listened to the show before, Chatterbox is a late night talk show where we bring in a member of the GLBTIQA community. And tonight we've got an A, which is Lisa, our ally.
Yay.
And our guests choose three songs that basically tell a little bit about themselves, their story, and they shoot the breeze with Brett and I.
Absolutely. So we were talking about you growing up in Freo a moment ago.
Yes.
And this leads us to our next track, Julie Cruz.
Yeah, so I was probably at the end of high school,
I think.
And I came to Melbourne for a on a summer break, and a friend's older sister's boyfriend made me watch Twin Peaks, the movie, when it was a telemovie. And it just blew my mind. It kind of was everything that I had, you know, had yearned for in some kind of a TV show or movie, in regards to its style and the darkness and, you know, the white picket fence.
Super dark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And just seen nothing like that before. And then when we went back to Fremantle, so obviously the school had started, and then the series came on TV, and it was kind of all about donuts and black coffee. I remember there was a group of us get together and watch it.
And it had such a cult following.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because people either loved it, like they didn't get it, or they just loved it.
Yeah. That was me. I didn't get it. I tried desperately hard because it was so cool, and I really wanted to be cool and get it, but I tried and I was just stupid.
You're not stupid, my love. You're far from stupid.
And it's
stupid from afar.
25th anniversary this year.
I was going to say there's an anniversary coming up of it.
So I've been meaning to. It's only been released for about a week. So they've had released the Blu-ray box set with some extra bits, apparently, that makes things fall into place.
Ah, maybe I should watch that.
That'll do it.
That's what I remember the most, that people were like, we love it. What's going on?
Yeah. And it's very David Lynch. I'm obsessed with David Lynch as well. And I like things that take me away. There's a basis of reality. So things seem familiar, but things aren't as they seem. And that's kind of sums up everything that I like in music and in film.
Great choice tonight. This is Falling by Julie Cruz.
Julie with two E's.
That's correct. You're on Joy 94.9.
Chatterbox with Brett and Andy on Joy 94.9. And that was our very special guest Lisa's second song for the night, which was Falling by Julie Cruz. Now, Lisa, you said before we went to that track that reminds you of your Frio days and your love for Twin Peaks.
Yes.
But I think you and I bonded over our deep love of all things 80s, and particularly all things of 80s and British.
Yes. Andy, when we met, I think that we used to discuss the size of Pete Burns' lips.
Well, they just went up and down over the years, let's face it. But you lived in the UK for how long?
Nearly 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. From when to when?
So it would have been 96, and then came back in the middle of 2000.
What a fabulous time to be in the UK, because that would have been that whole, like, New Britannia type.
Cool Britannia.
Cool Britannia, that's it.
Yeah, well, a bit Blur and Oasis.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Kind of. So I worked in a pub there, and that was kind of the rotation on the jukebox. But it was kind of like, I felt this feeling like you feel when you hear Cold Chisel in Australia, when you hear Oasis in London.
How was it living in the UK? Because, I mean, you always loved UK music, and there was always a strong UK influence.
Yeah, well, it was funny because meeting different people, as I would, and different styles of music, people that had different influences on me. So I mentioned earlier my friend Stu, and we'd go to GAY a lot, and there was always just amazing things that you'd see. They'd have 20-minute sets around midnight. And yeah, you'd see Dead or Alive.
Wow.
Which was one of the most amazing shows for a 20-minute show.
Yeah.
where Pete came out in this real 80s big shoulder pad, like severe kind of dynasty dress and heels, had a severe bob and really striking makeup, and then proceeded to take off the dress until he was standing in the last pair of undies that you keep just in case that the elastic had gone.
Oh, no.
He still had
bottom
the
of the washing basket knickers.
Yeah. So just in case, he put those ones on that night.
Oh. But who else did you see?
I was starstruck. I saw the Weather Girls.
Wow.
There. I saw Kylie when she did her comeback stuff. So
which Kylie?
Which is the spinning around Kylie.
Ah, pop Kylie when she put the
so
hot
she
pants
came
on
back. So she did a tester kind of sequence at JAY.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because obviously she lost her crowd probably in her going a bit more indie. And so she had her dances and everything, but just a small, like a 10 dances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of her 50. And I think she won the boys back.
But it's funny you should say that, because Kylie went through that period. She initially had her really club tracks up until the early, up into the mid-90s. And then probably because of Michael Hutchinson and what was going on. And also, I mean, she got a bad rap
in
Australia
for years.
Well, they
used to call her the singing budgie, remember?
Exactly. And so she went off on a tangent and started exploring indie music, which then upset her bass fans, but probably appealed to another group.
Yeah, I know. It was it was funny because I suppose the only thing I knew about Kylie apart from Neighbours was that I had some friends that liked Kylie.
Yeah.
So when I was working in hospitality in the time, and my gay friends loved Kylie.
Yeah.
And me not so much. And there was only kind of one particular time when it crossed over.
Yeah.
Should I talk about this?
I think
now?
You should. I think you should.
So I have the story when I have a friend of mine, big, big Kylie fan. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Lola.
And we went, I took her to Ogogo because that was when Nick Cave was releasing Where the Wild Roses Grow. And we both went into Ogogo. I said, we'll have two. She got a CD, I got a CD. And that's the first and probably last time our music tastes ever crossed. We both got a poster as well. And then, I suppose from then on, Kylie did all the big day outs. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it did for her. I know for a fan base, I think it kind of like alienated her in that way. And probably that show that I saw at JAY was bringing her back. For Nick Cave, it was kind of like everyone was like, well, what are you doing? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But he, in the movie I saw tonight, he jokes about how all of the album that she was on rocketed for them. The Bad Season never had a bigger album.
Wow.
And he said, and they probably never bought another one after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here it is now.
Great video for this song.
I know.
Nick Cave and the Bad Scenes featuring Kylie Minogue with Where the Wild Roses Grow.
They call me the wild rose, but my name was Eliza Day. Why they call me it, I do not know. For my name was Eliza Day.
From the first day I saw her, I knew she was the one. She stared in my eyes and smiled, for her lips were the color of the roses that grew down the river, all bloody and wild.
When he knocked on my door and entered the room, my trembling subsided in his sure embrace. He would be my first man, and with a careful hand, he wiped out the tears that ran down my face. They call me the wild rose, for my name was Eliza Day.
Hi, this is Kylie Minogue and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest Lisa tonight on Joy 94.9. My goodness. So what a deep song for Kylie Minogue. What a bizarre choice for Nick Cave.
Yes.
But what a hit for the song.
I know. It went ballistic. They were on Top of the Pops together, which was hilarious for the Bad Seeds.
Did they look horribly uncomfortable?
Yeah.
They were on Top of the Pops.
Yeah, because of that song. So crazy.
Oh, my God. Mm. Now, Lisa, obviously, this time of the night is caught out of the box. Where my partner will, my partner in crime, my partner in life, will ask you some embarrassing questions.
Oh.
First question is, what was your first, sorry, not what, because, well, it may be an inanimate object. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Well, Andy, there was a show called, oh my Lord, Solid, with the Solid Gold,
Solid Gold.
Dancers. Yes. Was it just Solid Gold?
Solid Gold.
And it was Andy Gibb, the youngest of the Bee Gees.
He was the hottest Gibb.
And he used to wear these like satin
shirts
and really tight pants.
I can't remember one of the songs that he sang, but out of the Gibbs, he was the hottest one. Because let's face it, Barry always looked like he was halfway through a transformation into a werewolf. There's the other
Robin,
one that was married to Lulu. There's the dodgy one. Yeah. And then there was Hot Andy. So
yeah, you'd go for Andy every time.
Absolutely. Who's your first celebrity crush, Brett?
Oh, look, I'm a little, I don't know if it was so much a crush, but two people who I loved a lot.
Yes.
And I'm
that's a crush.
Okay. Donnie and Marie Osborne.
Both of them. Both?
I just thought they were so lovely and they had lovely teeth and they always sung nicely together. And I just assumed that all Mormons and the Osborne family were that pretty.
And then you saw the rest of the old mob. And they look like a cloning experiment that's gone horribly wrong.
Oh, my God. How about yourself, Andy?
I had two. I think I remember having a crush, and I will call it a crush because I was deeply, deeply in love with her.
Yes.
When I was probably 4 or 5.
Yes.
And that was Daphne from Scooby-Doo with the red hair.
Well, she was hot.
And the purple.
She's a cartoon
character.
Yeah. Oh.
I think... Yeah,
like you went. I thought we were talking about real people.
No, I've had a long-running love affair with animated characters. This is it's not a standalone thing.
Do you know what? Andrew used to stay at home before going to work some mornings because remember Sailor Moon? It was a Japanese anime. This one was in love with the lead character,
and I had a bit of a crush on Jem. Is my name? No one else is the same. Jem in the Holograms. But I think my first man crush was Jeff from Dynasty.
Oh well, yes,
yeah,
of course. Actually, no, I take that back.
You can't take Donnie and Marie back.
Well, no. There was no sexiness, though. I just thought they were lovely. But the one who I thought was quite sexy was one of the chopper pilots from Chopper Squad. He was hot. Andy, what's the next question?
What's the most embarrassing thing that you look back? Because you're an incredibly stylish woman. I said you've got this whole gorgeous 50s Betty Page thing going on. But what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever worn?
As an 80s child, I'll go back to my...
I like how you prefaced that.
Yeah.
I'll go back to my childhood on that. And I did have a nice collection of pink outfits. As strange as if you know me now.
You're the least pink girl
I have ever
met.
Andrew and I would wear more pink, and we don't wear pink compared to you.
I had a pink jumper, which I think I teamed with a nice pair of pink jeans.
It was all about matchy-matchy in the 80s.
It was. And I topped that off by wearing that outfit to meet Kim Wilde.
80s pop princess.
When she was doing a signing.
Please say Kids of America.
Yeah.
Yes!
But it was actually like I think it was a little later, but that was the album that...
Yeah.
That I had signed, and I had the outfit on. She signed my album. I waited like an hour and a half. Yeah. My poor mother was standing outside, and I came out. Someone came past me and pushed the record up against my pink jumper and smudged the ink all over my pink jumper and smudged my Kim Wilde's picture.
Now, isn't Kim Wilde a gardener now?
She is, yeah. She's on like, you know, like a Better Homes and Gardens kind of, or maybe more Australian gardening.
I wonder if she pops around and mows Bananarama's lawn.
Yeah. Very successful.
Because I followed her on Twitter for a while and she...
Was giving you gardening
tips. She really was.
Did they work?
No. And the last question is, what's the most embarrassing song you've got in your, on either on your phone or in your record, CD, vinyl collection?
Well, I'll answer on my phone because recently had to get some songs together for a friend's birthday. And I downloaded this song and then I put it on my phone. It is Boney M. It is Ra Ra Rasputin.
Oh. See, I don't see that as an embarrassing
That's
song.
One of the best one in our entire collection.
We had Michael, who normally does S&M Monday Drive show. His is Agadoo.
I liked Agadoo when I was little.
Can I say, Boney M, how much I love The Rivers of Babylon as a kid and Brown Girl in the Ring. Loved it.
Do you like Brown Girl in the Ring now?
Not so much now because I think it's a little bit inappropriate. Don't you think?
A bit racist.
A little bit racist.
When I was on a bus in Morocco, I sat listening to a Boney M Christmas album on repeat.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
see, there's only so many times you can listen to Mary's Boy Child.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Midnight Flight to Venus, I'm not sure if you remember the album cover. So remember the male lead? He had that crazy Bride of Frankenstein afro.
Yeah, like a big loaf of wholemeal bread.
Yes!
And harem pants.
Yes! So the Midnight Flight to Venus album, there is this bad, because it's all sort of that 70s
cheapness
cut and paste.
The word you're looking for,
yeah,
right?
Very cheapness. Cheap. So there's like, it's like a magic carpet ride. He's almost like a Mustafa sort of man from the bazaar on the carpet, and the girls are sort of sitting and they've got almost like Mata Hari outfits, but very 70s-esque. Yeah. And then they're sort of like Venus in the background in the earth. And it's so, it's like a child has just cut them out.
Flawless production value. Oh.
But look, it was one of my memories as a child. Lisa, can I tell you, you've been an absolutely fantastic guest tonight.
Thanks,
you really have. And
thanks, Andy.
As I said, we've known you for such a long time, and I've learned so much about you tonight. I had no idea you lived in WA for 5 years.
I can't believe you and I were living in WA at the same time. Probably hanging out the same.
We all were.
Me too, because I moved there the same year as you did and left a year before.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. My God. Now, Lisa, what's happening with the band? Like, when are we seeing you back on stage?
It's got to happen soon. It's got to happen. I'm waiting. Like I said, Stephen, he's jet-setting around Greece he comes back. I'll let you know, and you have to come to a gig.
We would love to. For the listeners at home, what's the name of your band?
Verdane.
Verdane. And what type of music do you play?
Oh, it's kind of alternative.
Bit
pop
indie.
Rock.
Fantastic.
Bit of electronica. Yeah.
Oh, well, we love that. We love that. Now, obviously, Andy, what time of the night is it?
Oh, it's midnight, summer time of night, Brett. It's about 4 minutes to midnight.
I know. Well, Lisa, this is actually dedicated to you tonight because I wanted to choose an 80s track.
Awesome.
And this track was produced in the early 80s. And there's a myriad of backup.
Oh, my God. It's like We Are the World. Michael Jackson sang backup on it. Lionel Richie. Stevie Wonder. Dionne Warwick. Every man and their dog sang backup on it. So it had to be a hit.
Absolutely. And it's State of Independence. Absolutely love this track. Any final words tonight, my love?
No, just thanks so much to Lisa for coming in. It's been a really, really lovely show. And thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, Australia.
Joy 94.9.
Shabamani, Shabamana, Shabamani, Shabamani.
Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.